Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I hope you're all okay. I can't believe it's only like a few weeks until my live event, which is absolutely insane. I can't wait. The sales have gone absolutely nuts on the tickets that we've sold out. And then we decided to extend the room for an extra 10 people. So it's still a very small event because we wanted it to be intimate, but we have got 10 tickets that are just about to go on sale. So if you want one, I'd bag one quickly. Anyway, I am really excited about this episode because when I was in Saudi Arabia, I met a beautiful human being, Ali, who is an influencer and he's a beauty influencer. So I thought you are perfect for the podcast. I wanted to know, what is it like really to be an influencer, and should really brands be going down that route and using influencers as part of their marketing strategy? So I found out all the goss so I can share it with you guys. So without further ado, here he is. I would love to introduce you to Flawless Beauty Accounting, which is owned by Ariella, who specializes in providing exceptional accountancy and bookkeeping services tailored to the beauty, hair, and aesthetic industry. Her modern and personalized approach sets her aside from them traditional accountancy firms. Her mission is to help beauty business owners navigate through that crazy world of tax and business finances. Ariella has helped her clients save over £1 million since she established Flawless Beauty Accounting back in 2020. To contact Flawless Beauty Accounting, you can click on the links in the show notes, and Ariella is giving a huge 50% off your first month. Welcome to the show, Ali. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, Katie.
Oh, you're so welcome. So give the listeners a bit of an intro about you and what you do.
Hi, everyone who's listening. I am here with the amazing Katie Godfrey on her podcast. My name is Ali Majid. I'm a beauty content creator. I started on TikTok. I do skincare videos. I do makeup videos. And I'm from Saudi Arabia.
Love that. So I'm just going to give the listeners a little bit of context because they're like, how did you two connect? This is different.
Yeah.
But yeah. We obviously met in Saudi Arabia when I was speaking over there, and you sat to listen to one of my talks, and we literally just turned around and hit it off, didn't we? And I was like, oh, yeah. What do you do? And we got talking and I was like, oh my God, I have to have you on the podcast. It's great how connections are made. Like, so good. I love that. So take me back to what made you got into influencing. Like, is it something you always wanted to do, or was you kind of like chucked into it? What happened?
So I feel like my passion for my niche started at a very young age, and around 2016, 2017, when sort of the uprise of the beauty guru era happened, it was on YouTube at the time and a little bit of Instagram. I was so in it. I was completely enamored, so interested. I was in college at the time, and I was between breaks and of classes and on my lunch breaks and like on the way to school, I would be watching so many beauty tutorials, videos. I was just deep diving into all of the beauty content because it was a passion of mine for a very long time. But even the way, just me stumbling upon, like, I grew up with the internet, but it was sort of the first time that I found this huge part of the internet that was just a large community of people who shared the same passion as I did. So I was just completely in it. And actually, I've been thinking about starting content creation in 2020 when COVID happened. And then it was just sort of a joking conversation. Like, one of my friends was like, you know, it's instead of bothering us about this stuff that we really don't care much about, why don't you tell the world? Why don't you start creating content? And started thinking about it. And I still remember to this day, the first time I sat at a desk and I had like a pen and paper, I'm like, okay, so my first video is going to be like this. And my first video is going to have this thumbnail, and this is the script that I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this research. To everyone who plans on being a content creator, who wants to be an influencer, or just in any category of content, do not do that. Excessive planning for your first try, that's just for your first time like posting content, that's too much stress. So I overburned myself without even opening my camera to film. So I flunked and I burned myself out without knowing about it. skip to April of 2021. I was still in school. I was going to classes. I had some classes online and some of them I had to go to school at the time. And yeah, I just said that one day that I've been thinking about this for too long and it's now or never. And I still remember the very first time I like opened my camera on TikTok and like started recording. I was sweating. Oh, I was nervous. God. I was just so, because I'm a very self-conscious person and I don't like looking at myself a lot. And a lot of content creators, I feel like they have that struggle, is like you kind of cringe at yourself just a little bit when you watch yourself on camera. But yeah, it took exactly 30 minutes for me to film like a 15-second video.
Pretty.
Yeah, so that's how I started. And obviously I've learned so much along the way. It's been just under 3 years now. Right now we're in March of 2024. So yeah, I learned a lot. I learned how to film faster, how to edit faster, how to push content out faster. And yeah, here we are.
Oh my gosh. Like, so it hasn't even been that long. It's not like you've been doing it years and years and years.
No,
like,
no, not at all.
That's incredible. Wow, no. Good for you. So you mentioned about like when you watch yourself, you cringe and stuff like that. Like, I think people have this perception that just because you're an influencer, like you love yourself, like you think this is great, this is why we went into it. And it's not that at all, is it?
Oh no, not at all.
It's literally the passion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a passion. And it's the fact that you do feel burned out at the end of the day. Like if I film 3 videos to 6 videos to 9 videos a day, I will feel very exhausted at the end, because you have editing, you have scheduling, you have emails too, especially when you get to a point where brands are like reaching out to you for like sponsorships or like ambassadorship programs. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. So at the end of the day, if I'm doing so much work and I just feel miserable, I don't think I would have kept going for as long as I have. So definitely a passion. Definitely make sure to position yourself in a category or a niche of content if you want to be an influencer that mm-hmm. you really, really enjoy. Like even when I'm not filming beauty videos, I consume a lot of beauty content. So I definitely agree with you. It's not as fabulous. Have you ever had those days where you're filming content and like from the torso up, you look so put together, but it's like PJs and shorts and fuzzy socks underneath. So it's like, it's always like that. So you just have to have a passion, be patient for yourself and know that it's a lot of work.
I really don't think people see that, because I mean, I am not on your scale whatsoever, but when I have to film content for brands, like we had one recently for a bank, and it was all about like small businesses, like going with this bank, and I actually bank with them. So I said, yeah, that's fine, I'll do it. But they were so strict with what content went out, what I said, what time it went out, what day it went out, and all of these different things. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot of work as an influencer.
Yeah. I hate that when, like, I'm always super grateful when, because I spent so much time of me being an influencer not being able to monetize it. Mm-hmm. So because I spent, and I always say this to my followers, like, I was very, like, the reward of the work was not a fair ratio for a very long time. Like the fruits of your labor when you're an influencer, it might take a long time to see it. So whenever I get like an email or like I'm approached by a brand, I'm always so grateful, because that means I have work, that means I have income, that means I'm not gonna like go starving. So yeah. I'm very grateful for that. But I do get your point that, I mean, a job is a blessing, but sometimes when you get jobs from brands where it's like, you have to do this, like this and this. And I'm like, why did you approach me? And why are you so keen on working with me if you want to eliminate so much of what I already authentically present, like what who I really am? Like, you think my followers are going to connect with your script? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So do you find just being real and going on camera, like that's how it has to be rather than that scripted? Because even with like, say, my audience, those that are in the beauty space, but say got salons or they're therapists, I'm like, put your face to brand. Like, people want to know who's behind the chair. But even them putting like just doing a face to cam for like 30 seconds freaks them out. And I completely get that, because the first time doing it is so scary, and you think everyone is judging everything from the bit of hair that's out or the eyelashes that need topping up. But it's like, you just have to be raw, right? You just have to go for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I feel like you're setting yourself up for low-key a disaster if you continue to present a version of yourself that is not authentic, that is not true to yourself. Because even if you're someone that, let's say you have full intention of just presenting this persona that maybe isn't truly who you are, that will just make the work and the exhaustion much worse. Because not only are you working, not only are you filming content and you're making sure that it goes out to the public in the way that you want, but you're doing it while maintaining something that is not true to yourself. So it just, it can be very, for lack of a better word, detrimental to your own peace of mind as well. Because when I film content and I post, I go to sleep and I don't lose a blink. But if I were to push, I can only imagine if I were to push content out there for years and years where I'm presenting this persona that is such a 180 degree difference from who I am, I can only imagine how, like, a bit of a weight that would be on my shoulders. So be true to yourself, because it will definitely contribute to your sustainability and will lessen just the exhaustion.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So you've got over 330,000 people on TikTok, insane, and over 150,000 on Instagram. People dream to have these kind of numbers. Was there a time where you was like, oh my god, this has blown up? Like, was there a certain turning point, or was it that first video you done and it went viral?
To answer your question, no, there were points, to be honest, because I feel like as a content creator, and you obviously can attest to this, there are certain things or certain videos or certain ideas that when you implement, you notice a really like intense reaction to it. So I guess I've had a few of those. I like to make sure that my audience is engaged. Like, it's one thing for me to be captivated by someone's video or like the tips and tricks that I want to learn, but I feel like that's very important for me to just always keep the person engaged, like always keep that person, give that person a reason to just stay tuned. And I like to give back a lot to my followers. I like to answer their questions, and I used to do lives with them, and sometimes I do giveaways. So I feel like any effort from my end as an influencer to my audience, when they see that I'm trying to give back, like answering their questions or any of their concern, or like doing a Q&A, that has immense engagement. So engagement and consistency, I feel like that's just incredible. But I feel like a turning point to me was when I hit 100K. And for the first time in my life, just like, I've had my Instagram since I was in high school. Mm. So the fact that, and I'm 27 now. So the fact that this cute little nobody account that I made when I was in like ninth grade is now like at this scale is incredible to me. And I know it's nowhere near as big as other creators, but to me, that's just mind blowing, because I started this when I was 16, like this account. And now the fact that 11 years later, I'm using this for that. It's just what life is weird. I'm very blessed, but life is weird.
Yeah, it is weird, and it's definitely a journey. And it's like, it's still that consistency, right? As well, some people do post that one video and go, "This didn't work. I only got 10 views." Then don't bother again. But it's definitely like that consistency. And like you said about giving value, like I've just this week done like a 3-day challenge for my following. And it's been completely free. It's just been given loads of value. And we literally made a community within 3 days of like raving people, like talking about what's been happening in their businesses. They've been making friendships. And that literally is just from giving value, which is what people want. And I'm exactly like you. Like, I am driven by value. If I'm not giving value to someone, I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like,
absolutely. I'm not staying around.
Yeah, definitely. So lots of marketing, companies and beauty brands use influencers when it comes to marketing nowadays. How important do you think this is for brands to do this?
I could go hours and hours. And I want to first address the elephant in the, not the elephant, but I sort of want to address this firsthand, that even though I am an influencer, I speak of this with no biases. Obviously, I'm not trying to say that, we are the best marketing tools, but it is a really valuable marketing tool right now, because I feel like a lot of influencers, it's not just a following, it's a community. And when you get hold of an influencer that has not only a huge following, but that following is a community, like people who will actually click the link, people who will actually get out of their house and get in a car or on a train and go to the store because of a product that you mentioned, that is powerful. And I feel like that type of influence comes with a lot of, obviously a lot of benefits. And I feel like I was at a point where I used to think very narrow-mindedly, like, why would I pay an influencer this much money to do a video, to do a 60-second video on my product? when, if we're going to be real, I know a lot of people who work in the marketing departments of their own companies and in different like industries in the world. And when I learn about traffic and just like conversion rates and all those like technical references, I'm like, wow. Like, if we're going to be real, what a company would pay for like a billboard on a busy highway for like a week is a fraction of that could be paid to an influencer, which is still could be like, could be life-changing money to that influencer, or it could be very satisfying. I should use the word satisfying or to that influencer. And they could achieve even better results. They could get even more brand awareness. And it's just so important. I don't want to ramble on, but like, it's just so important. And I feel like a lot of brands, I've noticed that some brands have still yet to see that value or recognize that value. Mm-hmm. They're sort of still a bit old school, which is fine, to each their own, but it's incredibly valuable. Like, you are missing out if you are not going that route. So yeah.
Would it be best for then a brand to go to an agency and then they go out to the influencers, or is it best to go to the influencer directly? Because I know it's hard to get in touch with that person directly.
Yeah. I feel like it's a case by case thing, of course, but agencies, they come with their own pros and their own cons and their own like complexities. But yeah, I've been approached by the thing is, when you go through an agency, I feel like adding a third party could complicate the situation or could make it easy. Like, I've had situations where it went very south and it went very good. So it was complicated on one end, and it actually made the process much easier. And I was able to establish a relationship with a brand through an agency. So it could go both ways, but I would say it definitely depends. But yeah, so I'm sorry, yeah. Kate, I keep rambling on.
I love it. Like, talk at me. Like, I love it. And I know the thing is, loads of people don't really hear from influencers. They just see the TikTok. So it's really nice to get like the personality and like just the inside information of what really happens in influencers' life. So I know everyone's going to love it. So you're definitely not rambling. I want to give a shout out to Sky Premium Life products. Now, you will know from last year that I was testing all of their supplements and I absolutely love them. They were a sponsor on this podcast last year and they also are this year. I have tried all of their supplements, from collagen to their hair tablets to they've got focus tablets, anything that you need help on with your body system functioning, whatever that is, they have help. And I just love them all. I would highly, highly recommend them. We also started selling it within our business, making extra money in the salon with retailing the products. And because they're extremely reasonably priced, clients are loving them. Lots of my clients were also using them and they're selling them in their businesses too. So if you want to grab a discount, you get 15% off their products. The link is in the show notes. If you want to sell it within your business, reach out and I'll tell you exactly how to do that. Or you can just message them directly. But I highly, highly recommend you take these for your own well-being. And I also recommend, if you have a business, that you're selling it within that too.
Thank you.
And I've heard like loads of brands that say, well, I've sent product to this person or I sent product to that person. Actually, I'm a key example for this because we brought out a brow glue a couple of years ago, just after COVID. And my PR agency at the time, they were like, we've got all of these makeup artists. They were all UK based. Send them out to these. They're big makeup people. And we sent loads out. We didn't hear from anyone to even acknowledge that they'd heard it. So there's like this thing of, okay, well, shall we send stuff up to influencers because it's like, obviously sometimes a waste of money or sometimes it's not. So how do we choose the right people?
Oh, I feel like if you're going to compare the difference between the benefits of working with a micro influencer versus a macro influencer, thank God, I've put in a lot of work and a lot of time for me to get to a really cool point for my page, without comparison, obviously, just for me, for my own scale. But I love the idea of brands, huge brands, reaching out to small influencers. I think that presents immense value to them. I think that if you invest in someone from a very early stage, you never know what this person could amount to be in like a year or 2 years, or even without betting on that, without betting on like a long-term investment, when people see that you are investing in micro influencers, the beauty community, for my instance, beauty, that community will sort of look at you at a very positive light, because they'll see that you are a big like fish, you are a shark in the field, and you are giving opportunities to like very like early level people. So I think that comes with a lot of respect. I think that comes with admiration. I think that actually, for me, that would make me more interested in being a customer for you. So, and obviously dealing with macro influencers has its benefits as well. I mean, when I was a nobody and no one had any idea who I was, I've had deals. And when I grew up a little bit, just bigger, I've had deals. And it's different, I'll be honest with you. I've noticed the difference of how brands treat you when you like, for lack of a better word, like level up in terms of numbers. And I hate talking about numbers or like follower count and all of that, but you do notice a difference. And I'm not complaining, it's just, it's very interesting because you learn how the industry works and you learn how these brands navigate and how they see value differently in each person. So it's interesting.
How many followers would you class a micro-influencer compared to an influencer?
That's a great question. I'm not sure, but I remember when I had 10,000, I remember someone telling me very clearly that I am a micro-influencer. And so I would guess around that count. And I really don't know, to put it shortly, but someone with not as many followers and maybe not the highest, just follower count. Yeah.
Because I guess it depends, right? Because I'm trying to think of my audience now when they're, say, for example, let's go with a beauty salon and they want to go with like an influencer. It would only really be right for them to go with maybe a micro influencer in their area because of they need local people, right? But then if it's a beauty product you're trying to get out, then obviously you want to go with the biggest influencers you can because that's national or worldwide. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely depends on what you're trying to promote and who you are as a brand and where intention is a huge factor. What I've noticed, what I've learned is you can definitely tell the intention that the brand has based on who they're talking to. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Do you only recommend brands that you believe in, or is a job a job?
I believe that for me, I'll say this. What a waste would it be if I spent almost 3 years working on a platform, cultivating this huge community, not huge, but this community that I so dearly love. And if I were to just throw anything and anything at them that I did not think was 100% worth me using or me purchasing. That's how I look at it. What a waste of energy and time and effort and work for me to have spent so much time working on something. And obviously to be able to monetize it is a huge privilege for me. It's a huge like privilege, but I look at it as a trust thing. And I don't want to get too cliche. Also, business is business as well, obviously. At the end of the day, this is my living. This is how I make an income, how I live my life. But I would say it's a case-by-case thing. I would say it's a case-by-case thing. But I will be honest and like I will spill a little bit of tea. I've had brands where they will talk to me about promoting a certain product. And maybe that product is like, I would use it. It's not something like it would like burn my skin or give me a rash or something. Like I would use it and I have used it and it's totally fine. But I had one instance where a brand wanted to sell me something of a product, of a category, of something I've never used before, I've never promoted before. And they were like, we want to be the first with you. And I'm like, listen, I've never done this. And I didn't want to be too rude to them. Like I would consider promoting this type of product because I do use it, but I didn't like their specific product. So my kind of, and this is horrible, do not take business advice from me, anyone who's listening, but I kind of had this little sneaky trick that, okay, I'm going to make them back out by giving them a really high price. Like I take my rate and I'm going to like time it by 2 or like 105, 1.5. And sometimes they actually agree.
And then it's like a bittersweet, right? You're like, oh, I've got all this money. And the second, like, damn, you just want to say no to that.
And I end up just, and I hate ghosting, but I do end up ghosting them.
Well, it's horrible. But business is business, and you have got to do what you've got to do. And
oh, absolutely.
You're staying in integrity as well, right?
And even disconnect, for me, let's take skincare, for example. If I say that I don't like to use, let's say, for example, mineral sunscreens, if from day one, you've been following me for a while, or not even day one, from the first year, the second year, you've heard me say multiple times in my content that I don't like mineral sunscreens. And then out of the blue, you see a paid partnership logo under a video where I'm talking about a mineral sunscreen. You have to consider also that even if I were to throw credibility or integrity out the door, there's a huge obvious disconnect, and the brand will see that as well. And for me, it is my responsibility as well, even if I were to approach something that's new, because it is a new vista for you as well. It's a new horizon. You can always test something out, and you can always try it out and see if it works or not. You can always play that ground of just testing a product out if it's something that you wouldn't have considered in the past. But yeah, it's just one of those things where you have to also consider that the people will see that you just took this for the money. And the company's going to, and the brand is going to get no return on their money that they paid, no conversions, no one's clicking on that link, because everyone can see the huge disconnect that's there. So people are not stupid also. So, yeah.
That's so true. So when it comes to, I want to know, what's your day to day like?
My day to day life, I wake up at around 9 to 10 a.m. I film. I like to batch content. I try to do 5 to 6 videos a day. Then I'll sit on my couch, that little couch. I'll respond to emails, get back to anyone that I need to get back to. If I have any meetings, I will schedule them around noon upwards. So 12 to 2, if I have any calls or meetings or any grouped video calls that I need to get on, I'll do that. And I'll then the boring part starts of my day, where I go and exercise, I work out, come back, and I'll edit, or I'll batch content, or I'll respond to emails again, or I'll just stay at home. I'm a homebody. I just like to stay home.
When you edit your content, do you kind of edit within TikTok, or do you use other platforms for that?
I used to use CapCut a lot, because a form of filming content, of producing content that I used to do, which was kind of exhausting, was I would keep the phone recording, my phone would keep recording for entirety of the video, topic or idea. And I would edit, and I would split the raw footage by myself. And I found that to be a bit more exhausting. So on TikTok, I'll literally film shot by shot, which sounds insane. But I've learned how to do it. I've learned how to do it well and how to do it fast. But yeah, I do edit now on the TikTok app only. That's it.
Yeah, a lot easier for you. Do you ever get creative block? It's a bit like when I write for magazine articles, and it's like, okay, can you write another article for this, another article for that? And sometimes you just get content block. Oh my God, I don't know what to write about. So writer's block when we're writing. Do you ever get content block, or just think I'm out of ideas, or does it just always come to you?
Oh, absolutely. 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 I feel if I have nothing to talk about, I go on the Sephora app, or I go on Beauty Bay or Cult Beauty. And I'm like, okay, what is trending right now? I need ideas, or I will literally get so my brain will just exhaust itself, and I'll go on TikTok and just write beauty, makeup. And you know how you can filter last 3 months, most last week, most like. So I'll try to do a bit of quick research when I can. But yeah, I definitely get creative block a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard to keep that going. So lastly, if someone is listening and they're like, oh my God, I'd love to be an influencer, especially obviously the new generation coming up, right? I mean, my daughter is like, I want to be on TikTok star. And I'm like, yeah, what tips would you give them?
Oh my God. First of all, I would love to answer your question. How does that make you feel as a mother hearing your child say that they want to be on TikTok?
In two minds, to be honest. I mean, she sees me doing what I do, and she's been born into me doing videos and doing podcasting and standing on stages. So she's kind of been in that. So I don't think too much into it, but we'll see if it changes when she gets a bit older, because she's only 8 at the moment.
Oh, that's adorable. Advice I would give to influencers, I would say just be patient with yourself. Be kind with yourself. A lot of scrutiny, I find that with a lot of content creators who are just starting, a lot of self-scrutiny comes from within when they first start, because you are your own worst critic. Just be kind to yourself, be gentle to yourself, be patient. One of my favorite content creators, she was on a podcast for her name is I Drew something. Drew some, I forget her name, but she said that if you want to be an influencer, keep in mind that you're gonna see nothing from it for a really long time before you start seeing any type of return. Keep that in mind. And subsequently, what that means is if it's not fueled by passion, then maybe it's not for you. Just stay passionate, stay hungry, stay excited. And yeah, just be patient. I know it's such a cliche. I hate saying this because I hate it when people tell me this, but you just have to be patient and you really have to be kind with yourself.
But I totally agree when it comes to, because it's you're running your own business. So it doesn't matter if you're in business when it comes to influencing or setting up a salon or a building company. Everything yeah. comes down to being patient, right? Because everyone goes into this thinking, this is really easy money, regardless if that's influencing or anything else. Yeah, this yeah. is easy money. This is an easy life. And it's like, you don't realize how much free stuff, how much work, everything you've got to put in before you start seeing the monetary side of it. Like, it takes a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And I made a video one time on my TikTok where it's like, where it said, where I said, even let's say you land a huge deal with a huge brand and it's a lot of money in that contract. I'm sure you know this, but it's going to be a while before you see a dollar from that money that is in that contract. And even if it's like you get some of that now, you get some of it later. Later is going to be very later, like maybe yeah. end of year, or even next year. So it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, which is why I always say passion has to come before money. Money you can lose in a second, but the passion keeps you going. Like the okay. money will flow if the passion is there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to put it in the show notes anyway, but what is your TikTok? So people can go ahead and follow.
So I have an Instagram. I'm active on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, but I don't post on there much. It's mostly Instagram and TikTok. My handle is at Mushu Majid. Mushu like the dragon from Mulan, because my mom nicknamed me after that character, because I love Disney so much. And Majid, because my name is Ali Majid. So it's Mushu Majid, like my full name. So yeah.
Amazing. I'll put it in the show notes so you can all go and follow and go and check out all Ali's content. What do you think of YouTube?
I think the longevity of it proves that it is worth the investing. It is definitely worth the investment. So honestly, it's exhausting. YouTube is really hard. Long form content, like I'm pushing out like maybe 3 to 2 1.5 minute videos per day. And that's already pretty exhausting. So I can't imagine if every week I'm going to post like a 15 minute video or like a 10 minute video. It takes getting used to, but I think it's worth the work in the long run. I really do.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. I just love you so much. You're the most humble person ever. Like, you're brilliant. Thank you.
No, thank you. You're amazing. And I can't believe that we actually connected that day at Beauty World. Like, I'm like, she's actually talking to me.
I loved that day. It was so good. I met so many good connections, like, and you guys are so friendly. So thank you for welcoming me.
Of course.
Well, I will speak to you soon. And thank you so much. If you guys liked and loved the show as much as I did, please go and share it on your socials and shout us both out so as many people can reach it as possible. Thanks so much, my love. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Katie. Bye.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.